Would you stand with me as I read a few scripture verses to you concerning our Lord Jesus Christ? God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the expressed image of his person, and the upholding of all things by the power of his word, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And that's the person we want to sing some hymns to. How about as we stand, number 15, Oh Come, Let's Sing Unto the Lord, number 15. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. So let's praise him. Praise him. 683. Mm-hmm. Now, when our Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven and sits at the right hand, he said he would send his twin, his Spirit, the Spirit of God. So now let's sing a hymn like 253, O Spirit of the Living God, 253. I've selected the next hymn to go along with the message tonight about the glory of God alone. So it's To God Be the Glory, 667.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done.
Yes, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. I must say that I enjoyed the service this morning out in the veranda on the porch with Brother Josh giving forth the word. It was different, wasn't it? The electricity was out, as you know. Now, you are turning to 1 Corinthians 10 in verse 31. However, pick up the hymnal again and turn, please, to page 667. That's the back of the hymnal. We're looking at the bottom of the hymnal, the page number 667. For what I am going to do, the Lord willing, is have us look at probably one of the greatest statements that ever was made as far as the Reformed Church. And they used this as a catechism. And we, some years ago, we had departmental Bible studies, and over in our living room there was a group of young folk. I think they were third and fourth graders. And the catechism was taught to them by question and answers. And they did hear this question number one. What is the chief end of man? What's the goal of man? Man's chief end or his goal in life? I'm looking at the first question on page 667. Man's chief end is to glorify God at the top of the page there and to enjoy him forever. Well, second question, what rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him? Well, it's the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. It is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him. Well, third question, what do the Scriptures principally teach? The answer, the Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. What is God? Answer, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Are there more gods than one? There is but one only, the living and true God. May God bless our consideration of this great truth as to the matter that we are to give glory to God and to enjoy him forever. That's to be our aim, our goal in life. 1 Corinthians 10 puts it quite clear as far as I'm concerned. Verse 31. What? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. That encompasses it all. Not just eating and drinking, but everything. Give glory to God alone. Now, we sing these wonderful hymns, and they are. We say how God has done all these things for us. So all the blessings come downward for us. Now, don't you feel like you ought to reciprocate and say, well, no, God's been so good, showering us over the years, eternal. I'm speaking to Christians tonight. This is those of you who say, well, I know the Lord. Now listen, you know the Lord. I want to deal with us then. God's been so good to us. Now don't you think sometimes we ought to reciprocate and say, what can I do for the Lord? What might I do that he would appreciate it? You say, well, you can't work for your salvation. A lost man can't work anything to get to heaven. We say, yeah, I know that. But it says that we're to give glory to God. Does God need some more glory? No, not in his own personage. But he does expect to receive honor. And he said, that's what I'd like to have is some honor. And of course, it has to do with affection and it has to do with the matter of obedience and all those good things that the Bible talks about. But I thought to myself, you know, we sing about these good hymns and we talk about all God's goodness. Boy, the weather's so nice, isn't it? Nice. No, well, you know, this and that and so forth. Our kids are good, you know. Oh, boy. And God, by his grace, has given us all these things. And I wonder sometimes, how about reciprocating. Well, I'd like to know how you do that. We're but mere human beings and frail to best. How in the world can you give honor and glory to the God who has everything? Well, he says we're to do it to the glory of God. Another word, glory, can be used as a noun, it can be used as a verb, and both ways it means to honor, or it has the idea also of the matter of showing by praise. Now, anything that would go beyond this in our lives that we're doing and we're not giving God the honor for it is the sin of idolatry. And you know what? Be careful. God sees us all. He knows us. I can fool you. You can fool me. You can't fool God. In fact, Psalm 139 says, no matter where you go, God's there. God's in our mind and our thoughts. He knows the thoughts and the intents of my heart. He knows yours. And so those very things that you put so much priority on, it may be that we're idolaters. I'm talking to Christians. So, even as our forefathers, as far as I'm concerned, of the faith, they did not make distinction like we do. They did not make distinction between that which is spiritual and that which is temporal. You say, well, now Sunday we go to church, yeah. And, you know, Wednesday prayer meeting, yeah. That's spiritual. But Monday through Saturday, you know, I go to work. The forefathers did not say, make this distinction like you and I make distinctions. Well, we have to go to work and we got to do this and so forth. They didn't make that distinction. And by not making that distinction, they believed that they could bring glory to God at all times in every place they go. Whether it's to school, whether it's to the shop, whether it's to the kitchen, wherever it is, that we can bring glory to God. I'd like to know how. Hope you do too. So our idea of this is sacred, but this is secular, and they don't have any connection whatsoever. Well, I got news for you. You better get them connected, because the Lord wants glory alone for all these things, for all the things that are being done. I would have to say this, although it was some reservation, but Martin Luther probably has done the finest job in showing you that you're wrong by separating the secular and the spiritual. Well, I have to do this, and it's a horrible job, and I don't like it, and so I fuss, and I complain about it, and snort about it, and all that. He said, no, you better be careful. We're to give glory. Look at the verse. Don't be looking at anything else, friends. Verse 31. So, you're going to, whatever you're eating, or whatever you drink, or whatever you do. Well, tomorrow morning, I've got to get up and get at it. Well, we all do. We'll do it to the glory of God then. Yeah, but you don't know what kind of boss I have. You don't know what kind of neighbors I have. You don't know my job. It doesn't make any difference. You give glory to God alone. You got to work these things out. Don't segregate them. This is what we do. Well, that's why the early fathers said the very first catechetical question is, what is your chief end, your aim, what's your goal in life? Well, I want a man's chief end or goal is to glorify God. Glorify God. God can't be glorified. Yes, he can. Well, God's all in all. He doesn't need anything. No, he doesn't. But he does say in his word that he wants to be glorified. I won't make a bigger, better God. I can't do that. But there's some things that he wants us to consider. And he says, well, you're doing it. And he said, I'll reciprocate even by giving you some joy in it. Oh, boy. And we're to enjoy. Enjoy him. The world doesn't enjoy God. No joy, God. I think God's going to come down with wrath and send them to hell. They know something about these things. But he said, no, I want you to glorify me, honor me, give glory to me. And he said, I want you to enjoy me. I want you to enjoy me. You enjoy the Lord? You tell him? You talk with him? You commune with him? You have fellowship with him? You pray? You read his blessed word? Say, don't do too much of that. Woo! We're all going to have to give an account. Be nice to hear the words well done, wouldn't it? But you know what? I can get the idea that I'm going to do it this way. I may not be a one, you know, I'm not really that religious. You know, I was thinking, this is going to shock some of you. To give glory to God is to praise Him. I did enjoy that singing tonight. I really did, honestly. But you know, you can't overdo it. You say, oh, yes, you can. Just turn on the TV, you'll see some people overdoing it. Now, hold on just a minute. Just a minute. Maybe you can learn something. Get a little excited in your music. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Get a little excited about it. Oh, come on now, preacher. You come on. God wants us to get excited about Him. And just standing up and saying, well, I can read that note and that note. It goes like this and goes like that. And there's a certain time. And I just go perfectly. Hey, you can do all that and not give praise to God. You say, well, as long as I sing it, I'm praising God. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Down in our hearts. And if we get a little excited about it, don't you criticize us. Fact of the matter is, maybe some of these folk have it a little bit on us. They get excited about praising the Lord. You say, well, I don't know if it's genuine. That's not for me to judge. I just know He wants to be praised. And as you get excited about it and you're joyful in the Lord's goodness to you and you want to reciprocate and tell Him what a wonderful God He is through Jesus Christ, you just go ahead and do it, brother. And if anybody criticizes Him, you'll have my consideration to deal with too. This music is to be a blessed thing. I like what a man said to me this week. He said, you know, I believe this old book. He said, I've been to Palestine twice, and he says, it's a lively book for me. And he says, I want to tell you something else. I put this right next to it. What? The hymn book. A good hymn book. He says, I put it right next to it. I say, well, that sounds pretty extreme. No. This book is just full of the Word of God. What's the subject here tonight? Give glory to God alone. So there's nothing that should compete with God in what we're doing. Well, now, just a minute here. You know I have a family. Yes, I know that. You know I am supposed to take care of my family. Yes, I know that. Do you know that my all in all is my family? My kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, that's my all in all. That's what really excites me. If that's your goal, wow. They are in competition with God. Your value of them is much higher than God. No, wait a minute. You're putting words in my mouth. No, I'm not. There are some people, they just live for their kids. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Can't believe the book. God wants the glory alone. You see, one of the solaces that the Reformers used, of the five, the one is the sola di gloria. And that is glory to God alone. They believed it, our forefathers, to God alone. It talks about hating in the Bible, which is really, read that and say, I should have the scripture for you. It just comes in my mind about hating father and mother and say, come on, Lord, we're not to hate them. But He is saying this to you and to me. anyone that you know and whom you love so much, you dare not love them beyond God. You cannot put them here, that God is here. I don't care how much you say in regards to love and hate, they are regarded as the difference between God and the person that you put so high is like love and hate. God has said that. I didn't say that. Well, now, it isn't just family, I know, but there's my career. I have a career. And I've studied, and I've gone to school, and I've spent money, and I've been, my business is what really counts. And that's what puts food on the table and pays the bills. That's the thing that I have to be concerned about. That's my number one priority. And there are guys like that. And gals. Sorry. The Bible says, you to give glory to God only. Thank God that you have a job. Thank God for your family. Take care of them. But don't make them the top, the number one. It's kind of scary when I see people that just, oh, the little darling. Oh, the little darling. And they fall all over their kid. And God says, I'm number one. And if you won't wise up, we have ways to change in that. And I don't want to mention them. I tell you, friends, we must realize that we have a God that we're to have reverence for and awe. And the ungodly are to fear Him. When these people, when they say, hey, I want to ask you something, preacher. Where is God in all this? We have this, the boys are dying, and we got people starving in the world. You talk about a sovereign God, and God is, and God is, and God is. Where is He? You know where He is? God is in heaven. And I want to tell you something. Don't kid yourself that His wrath is going to be poured out in people who, to think of God as nothing, take Him out of school, take Him out of the government. I'll tell you something, His wrath is coming down upon them when He comes. Be careful. The forefathers had some great discernment that we give glory to God only. Top priority. Well, but you see, I have to work pretty hard, and I do a good job in my job. You know, I work hard, and I need some relaxation time, and I have some hobbies. Yeah, I know about your hobbies. I see them going down the highway. I read the newspaper Sundays. I read all those things. I know Jesus. You do? Yep. Where were you in church? In church? No. My wife and I, we have this thing. We have a hobby or something, or I have a hobby. And I don't think church is all that important. I guess God will forgive me, won't He, if I don't go to church. I have this hobby of mine that I just think about it all the time. How am I going to do this now? How can I do it so the missus doesn't get upset or my hubby get upset? And we just plan these business. You say people aren't that way with their hobbies. I guess I can say I've been there and done that. You know what I'm talking about. God said, give me the glory only. Don't be thinking all about your hobby. Don't be thinking all the time what you're going to do about this and that. I know this, that some people are putting so much emphasis upon their possessions. Why my home? I just work in my home all the time. I fix this, I fix that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to put this on, and I'm going to do this, and I think about it, and I have to do it, and my wife and I are both agreement, and we just keep going at it, and we just keep going at it, and going at it, and we fix up place and make it nice. See, what's wrong with that? You know, I think we should try to make it presentable. But if it becomes your top thing in your life, then God is not getting the glory. Your glory is when somebody goes past you and says, oh, isn't that a place? Those people. Is this your heaven? I don't blame the ungodly if they have wonderful things. It's only the heaven they're going to have. But for a Christian to follow the ways of the world and just have to be at it and doing my home, my house, my property. Oh, I have to do that. It is so important that I do that. Oh, I'll say for the testimony of the Lord. There is a place. There is a place. But you know, you can be extreme on these things. Give God the glory that He's given you a place and shelter and a home and a family and some relaxation and a hobby. Oh, but very careful about it, this whole thing, and about your possessions. Hey, I just believe that I have the ability to make money, and that's my big thing. I know stocks, I know how to do this, I know I have investments, and I just talk about how I can make more. What did you say? What stock did you think maybe I should consider? My ears are open to possessions and securities and money and so forth. What's wrong with making some money? Nothing. Well, I don't get it. Yes, you do. You know what you think. You know what's going through your mind. Day in and day out. I got to read this report. I got to listen to that news, business news. I spend my time over my books. John Calvin said, you know, the heart is an idol factory. I-D-O-L. John Calvin said, this old heart is an idol factory. And we can develop idols in this old heart of ours and think that nobody's going to know about it. Oh, but God, thou seest me. He said, I want you to bring honor and glory to me. You know, dear friend, when we stand before Him, you say, well, I think I'm going to do all right. I went to church. I did this and so forth. I'm religious. I trusted Jesus. I expect to be rewarded. But careful. He can be as hay and straw. We put our emphasis and not where God says, me first. I've been so good to you. Savior, you've been so good in saving and going in my place, taking my sins, becoming sin for me, shedding and suffering and all that for me. Reciprocate. I can't work my way to heaven. No, you cannot. But you can glorify Him and honor Him. And He says, do this. And whatever you do, you can do it. You know, it's not a duty, though. I've even had guys here that say, hey, wife, you know, do your duty. You've heard that, too, haven't you? Do your duty, wife. Or hubby, do your duty. Suppose on our wedding anniversary, as we had a lovely meal up in the hills of Pennsylvania, Stevensville. Suppose my wife would have said to me, what are you doing this for? You went all the way up here, and it's a lovely place, and it's a good meal. What are you doing this for? And I'd say, you know, Shirley, it's my duty. I'm your husband, and it's my duty that you know, to give you appreciation by this meal. Did you say appreciation? Yeah. Oh, okay. Lord, you've been so good to me. And I want to show you not to be dutiful. And I have to be proper. I'm going to do things right. But out of appreciation, I want to do this. I want to love you. I want to praise you. I want to do it better. I know this old world's a passing thing. But I know my heart. I know that I don't give you first place. I know I don't fellowship with you. I know I don't read the Bible. I'm busy, Lord. I'm busy. He said, all right. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Christians, do we need to hear this? Or is this just for the lost? No, we don't honor him as a dutiful thing, but as appreciation. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Your mind. You want all? You want all? That's what the Word of God says. Well now, just got done hearing that we do have to take care of our families and do these responsibilities. Well, yeah, but we can do all of that to the glory of God. When I have too, worked in factories, that guy is a filthy mouth guy. He cusses. And I hear him down here on his machine. I'm up here. I say, well, that man's made in the image of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I would be courageous enough to talk to him alone and about the Lord Jesus and having his sins forgiven, open my mouth and sort of say, hey, you jerk, we don't talk like that. What's the matter? You're some idiot. No, no. But to talk to him genuinely and tell him about the Lord Jesus, wouldn't it be something if the Word of God, the Spirit of God, would take the Word of God and save him, and those words that he cussed that hurt you so badly, that he becomes a soul winner for Jesus Christ and lives a Christian life to such an example, like, shall I say, Spurgeon was a fellow like that, and Bunyan was a fellow like that. And not only Bunyan, but a lot of these old saints of God, they were folk that used dirty talk. Yeah, read about their lives. And yet God saved them and became wonderful persons. Don't slap him down and kick him and just do say nasty things about him. You don't know what the Spirit of God might do for these people that you dislike so badly. Your neighbor. But it is to be a witness to them and talk to them. You know, I believe that we need to talk. But I also believe that we're to let our good works show our good works. You know, you can do some good works for people. And men and women will see that genuinely for the Lord. In the old days, somebody died. They take some food, maybe. Because if you're in sorrow, who's going to cook a meal? Come on. Some of your best specialties, ladies, and you know they're real good. It'd be nice if you could take it to the family and just said, I thought maybe you could use this. Well, what's that have to do with religion? A whole lot. It's talked about good deeds, good works. There is a place for that, you know. Not to get to heaven, but after we're saved, that we're to, as James says, that we're to do good works. We're elected also that we do good works, deeds. Oh, but let's go on. Whatever we value, we praise it. Well, let's see. I could say, little children. Well, they're just sweet little things, aren't they? Well, you don't know what it is to change. Yes, I do. Well, precious. But let me ask you something. Be careful. Be careful that you don't just praise them to such an extent. You're not giving God the glory for those little tights. Maybe it's a matter also of that you can easily talk about the weather. Isn't this nice weather? Wasn't that nice out on the porch this morning? Wasn't that weather so good? Hey, we got rain. Isn't that wonderful? We talk about the weather. But honestly, friends, do we really talk about the one who's to get all the glory? Do we talk about the Lord? Do we give glory to God? Do we talk to others about the Lord? No, sir. I am not a fanatical Christian. Shame on you. He did all that for you. All these blessings He gives upon you. And all the things that you have. It's by the grace of God that you have what you have. And you mean to tell me that you're so sophisticated that you won't talk about the Lord Jesus? Something's not right here. Something's just not right. Just not right. You know, being a Christian isn't just singing some good Christian hymns and knowing some precious doctrine, some creeds. Well, I think a Christian is that you sing and write hymns and do it right, and you got to believe the confessions. And I think that's what Christianity is all about. Oh, boy. Are you ever wrong? It's wonderful to have good doctrine, theology. It's wonderful to have good singing. But I want to tell you something. I know of a church that was called the Singing Church. They didn't really honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him the glory and all the things. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's true. They thought they were really terrific. Very frankly, it reminded of a merry-go-round. You ever hear a merry-go-round? Now they have rock and roll. As one man said, listen, if I want to go to, I want to hear rock and roll, I can go to a rock and roll conference or a song fest or whatever. I want to go to church, I want to hear church. But today's church is entertainment. Today's church is to show. I like to shock people. I'm going to shock you. Are we to be stripper Christians? Oh, Pastor, why would you say such an awful thing like that? Well, if I'm going to wear a certain kind of apparel, I'm going to look a certain way, and I do a certain way, I say certain things, I do certain things, I preach certain ways, and my preacher is a good preacher. You sure it isn't grandstanding? Showbiz. Maybe you're being a stripper, spiritually speaking. Oh, come on. Well, I believe people are like Pharisees. Have to dress the right way. Have to say it the right way. Have to sing it the right way. Everything has to be just exactly right. Perfecto. And yet their hearts are like Pharisees. And they're not giving glory to God. They're saying how wonderful I am. It's amazing. I hear on the TV people talk about how wonderful they are. Aren't we wonderful people? Maybe you think you're wonderful. Well, let me ask you something. Who created you? And how's it going to be in a few years, maybe or less? All that brain work that you have up there, you brag about your ability to do this, your ability to make money, and what you did by your own footstraps, and that you're just such a wonderful person. Are you really that wonderful person? Some people, they walk, and they're Christians. Careful. Careful. It's not you, my friend. It's God. Namely, through Jesus Christ. He's to get the glory only. Not you. Not me. Use what gifts you have. The Bible says if you don't use them, I'll give them to someone else. Oh, but I can't. All right. You can talk weather. You can talk business. You can talk shop a mile long. And you won't talk about me. Then that gift I have, that talent for you, I'll just give it to someone else. And you'll give an account for it. Yes, you will. But he says, I want you to enjoy your gifts. That's the last part of this, but I'm not going to deal with that tonight. By the way, I was just so thrilled. My wife, too. We were just so thrilled that what we heard and saw on the internet. I was looking at the news, and it was pretty sure it was Fox News. And it comes that on Friday, I believe it was a Thursday, the United States Senate had a Hindu cleric offer the prayer in Congress. And he had his yellow robe on, and he had his hum. That's their chant, whatever they had. And I was just thrilled. Well, we have it. And our senator from Scranton called Mr. Casey, you know? And he wanted to be politically correct. And he probably did the right thing. By the way, why don't you get out of that idea that you're going to have to be, I got to be politically correct. Why don't you talk about being biblically correct? BC and rather PC. I want to be biblically correct, not just politically correct, a nice fella. Please God, give him the glory. Anyway, Senator Casey, he was in charge of the opening exercise, and he said, and he gave a introduction to this Hindu cleric. He's going to offer prayer for the United States Senate. And so he got up there, and as about to pray, as clear as you'd ever think. You heard it too, didn't you, brother? This man called out, Lord Jesus, forgive us. And he says, Lord, this is pagan, this is wrong, this is idolatry. And Mr. Casey said, Sergeant of Arms or Master of Arms or whatever, was it clear the channel? Or what did he say? Clear the channel. Restore order. That still gives me chills up my back. That man called upon God so boldly and so properly. That's the kind of thing I think gives glory to God. Instead of being politically correct, let the Hindu pray. No, no, no. Our founding father said this was a Christian nation. I don't care what talk show says. It can be documented that they believed it was a Christian nation. Our forefathers. And I challenge you. I challenge you, if you doubt that, you check that out. You can Google eyes as well as I can. And the great men of the past. To have a Hindu offer prayer. Or to be used the Quran instead of the Bible. I tell you, friends, I'm not political. But I want to tell you something. Speaking for God and the Lord Jesus. And when he took care of that man, we heard in the background a lady. A woman was asking, God, don't let this thing happen. You can hear her in the background. They had to take care of her too, according to Mr. Casey. Be politically correct. You know what I personally think? He's a Roman Catholic. I think he should have just left that go. Yeah, I do. Let that go. Let that kind of take care of itself for a little bit, and maybe then and say, okay, now we'll have you. You say, what does that have to do? You know what it has to do. I'm not offbeat. I'm saying give God the glory. Not Allah. He's not God. Or some Hindu mystic force, superior being. I hear people brag about good meals. And I think that's proper. Boy, that was a good meal. Yeah, that was a good meal. Do you really love the Word of God? Do you ever say, I appreciate that Word so much? I believe God got glory in that this morning. I can praise a good meal. Why can't you praise a good word from God? But we don't do that. It seems that which we value the most is what we talk about. We talk about the Word of God. Oh, friends, I just wonder sometimes about this.
I read of Ted Turner. Do I have to introduce him to you?
No.
One of the wealthiest men in the world. You know, back some years ago, he said, I'm going to give a third. Listen now. He said, I'm going to give a third of all my wealth to the United Nations. Did he? Yes. Well, what did that mean? And he had it so it would be for such thing as for food and clothing and for medical shelter for people in the world. Now, Ted, that's a real nice job. But you know how he announced it? He announced it in a fabulous ballroom with tuxedos, evening gowns, journalists, television stations. Now, you certainly don't think it's right for to criticize such a doing, would you? I'm not going to, but I will have you turn to Matthew 6, and you decide whether I'm unkind. Because I think so many times we do these things unconsciously. You say, well, I don't know what you mean. Well, in this Matthew 6 account, our Lord Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he tells about this matter of possessions and so forth. This is right down our line. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Tell me, Lord, how would that fit in with what the preacher is trying to say to us? Verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Woo! He goes on. Therefore, verse 2, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Wow. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Well, we go to meeting places. You call them church. You don't theologically know what you're talking about. That's the church down there. No, it's not the church. It's a church building. It's a church when God's people are worshiping. That's what a church is. When the ecclesia meets there, that's the church. They will say, oh, there's a church. Oh, there's the church. Oh, look at that. You're wrong. It's only a church when God's people meet there. Anyway, walk in and say, boy, this is nice. Woo-wee. Look at those stained glass windows. In memory of William P. Robbins. What's this one? In memory of so-and-so, so-and-so. In memory of so-and-so and so-and-so. You mean they gave money to buy that beautiful thing? Yeah. What's wrong with that? Well, is this passage taken out of its context? The Lord Jesus said they get the reward, they won't get in heaven. And yet, as Christians, we've got to be careful about this. I gave so much. You did. Yes, sir. I gave so much to the church. And I'd like to have a tax receipt for the IRS. See, I don't know where you're coming from. If you're coming from the Bible viewpoint, you need to take a little time and put it in low gear and read that passage. If you think you have to have a ledger book that's just proper and everything has to be precise, how much I give to the Lord and budgeting and so forth, there is a place for that. It's a very easy thing to do. The scripture says in the first day of the week, you give what the Lord's given you and just take care of it. When you get your pay, just take out that 10% and extra. Put some extra in it too, by the way. Oh, hey, preacher, you got to talk about money. Yep, so the blessed Lord did. I guess I have a right to do that. He said, now, be careful that you don't want everybody to say, Bill Robbins gave $1,000.
Did he really? Oh, yeah.
Bill Robbins got his reward. Now, I must tell you, what's put in the box, we know how much is in there, but we don't say who gave this and who gave that. By the way, we don't take checks anyway. You know that, don't you? We are a Lordship Church,
We don't have to give an account to Uncle Sam. So if you want to give the Lord's work, you put in there, you can go to the bank as well as I can, put the cash in there. That's what you do. We don't want to know who's doing that. Because if you want to obey the Lord, I got to take heed that you don't be giving before men to be seen of them and heard. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. That's pretty serious. I think it is. Talk about stewardship. Now, they did do this. Said, I don't understand that trumpet. We don't play a trumpet. No, but we'll do other things. I just told you about stained glass windows and the organ and all those things. And the building. And it says on there, Robin's Church. Name the church after them. Put the name across the front of it. The Lord's talking about these things. Some people, as Christians, we say, I don't see what's wrong with that. Yeah, well, you don't understand what it means to give God the glory only. They did this. The Jews had, and they had it right, that there should be no poor or poverty among their people. No, no, no. And what they would do, they would collect money, and that's the Lord's talking about, and they would be the job of the Pharisees to distribute these things, and they would go out to the streets with a trumpet and that tell all the poor people to come now, because the synagogue, the Pharisees are going to distribute alms or goods. The Lord said, that's not the way at all. We could bring it up to date, but I'm not going to. You can get it clear enough. And he said, but when you do alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. That left hand, the right hand thing, that some people would say, I do that so I don't have to give an account of what I do. Well, you're in trouble. But it was simply another way of saying that don't be putting your piety on display or grandstanding as a Christian. Well, I think that you have to be very careful about keeping a ledger for your giving. I think it should be just one of those things, this money God gives to me, and I shouldn't have any question about it. I go take care of it, and if I'm not able to do it, I give it to my wife, and she takes care of it. I don't think you'd make any big noise about it or any kind of a show. Because thou, God, seest me. It's been a matter between you and the Lord. Not the treasurer or the preacher. It's a matter of you and the Lord. It needs to be taken care of. And not to be seen of man. Well, I want to get to the last part of this, but we'll have to wait till another time. And that is, and to enjoy him forever. How to enjoy the Lord forever. And I think that's a good word, but I want to encourage you to put some effort in, especially to die to some of those idols that we have. And we're thinking all the time about it, and it's what's on topmost of our mind, and that we value so much. Make an effort to die to those idols and pray so you can be glorifying the Lord. Remember, we do praise what we value, and God should be praised at all time, and he should be praised for everything. Maybe that hymn 447 might help us to understand that a little better. 447. It's a short hymn. Let's stand and have prayer, and we'll have any discussion. Let's stand and sing. This is a tune you'd know, I'm sure. 447.
Yeah.
pray. Now, our Father, we desire that we might not just hear the word, but that it had become part of us, and that we might be doers of the word and not hearers only. How easy it is to let those things just slip by. I heard that before. Hasn't changed me. May thy precious word, the power of it, your very breath, speak to all of our sense, not just the person next to me or in front of me, behind me or whatever, but my inmost being be touched with the truth that, Lord, you've been so good to us in so many ways. And yet, Lord, we acknowledge that we're not as grateful as we ought to be, and we don't praise you as we ought to be, and we don't love you as we ought to, and we don't talk about you like we ought to. Help us to see that our forefathers were right, that it should be our goal to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Our Father, look upon us individually and collectively. May we see once again your blessing and goodness to us, saving us through Christ, watching over us and sustaining us in, Lord, so many ways. Thank you. Help us this week to honor you. We pray for your guidance. And now, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, and that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Perhaps you have a thought that might encourage us or strengthen us, fortify us, yes, even convict us. Maybe you have a word that you would share with us concerning the subject of giving glory to God only. Good. Is that up front?
Yeah, up front.
Yeah.
I think there's another scripture that goes with that, and that is, whatsoever thou doest, do it as unto the Lord.
Yes. Thank you. That is good. There's a lot of scriptures. Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering whether sometimes your fellow workers might judge your Christianity by how you apply yourself to your job.
Yes.
Yeah, I've always heard that you know, especially if you have something you don't like to do, if you can find some way of doing that and be happy while you're doing it, makes it a lot easier. So I think that if it might be a good incentive to do the best you can.
Yeah.
Just because you are a Christian.
Brother Rook can tell you, when he was foreman at the steel mill, how some guys would go during work hours and go to sleep back in the storage room. Yeah. You've heard that too, haven't you? Where's Bill? He must be somewhere here. Where's he sleeping? Hey, that happens. Yeah. And they would criticize you if you, too, you know that, don't you? If you did a real good job and say, you know, he just, phew, man, he's crazy. The union doesn't want us to do more than so many bricks, you know. He does. He just goes ahead and works. And they'll criticize you for that kind of thing, too, won't they? Yeah.
You have a different outlook on life not unto men. And it's in just the little things of our lives. It really speaks. It's one thing to take on the big jobs and say, well, Lord, I give you honor here. But then we complain in the little places, the everyday places of our lives. And you always told me of the Indians who made friends of the cold because they always had to live in the cold. And now they are the heathen, but I was telling Joy the other day, she had about 4 weeks of rain. I said, you'll have to do like Daddy told me the Indians did. They made friends of the cold. You'll have to make friends of the rain and learn to live with that situation. We do complain about our situations in life.
By the way, I don't know how they did that, but I did read that. The Indians somehow made friends with the cold weather. Don't ask me anything about that. I'm a sissy. Cold weather bothers me.
Bear grease all over.
Come to church and smell bear grease. Well, hey, all right. Is there something else? I trust you'll have a good week. I mean that, spiritually speaking, in every aspect. And so may the Lord bless you all. Amen.
Yeah, it's not that hard. But yeah, it's not.